Today in the podcast, we're going to be talking to Kirsty Leach again. Kirsty was with us in episode 272 of the podcast and explained brilliantly what anxiety is and how it represents in our day-to-day lives. Today, she's back to us to talk about techniques and strategies that you can use if you're feeling anxious. What steps can you take to alleviate anxiety in both the short and long term?
You're listening to the Declutter Hub podcast, bringing you tried and tested, no-nonsense tips and advice from the leading experts in decluttering and organising your home. Now here's your host, Leslie Spellman.
Hello and welcome, listeners. I'm Leslie. We're delighted you're here to join us as part of your decluttering journey. So whether you're brand new today or have been listening in for ages, we want to say thank you so much for being here. It means so much to Ingrid and I that you turn up every week to listen to and support us while we talk all things decluttering and organising. We'd love to help more people with their quest for a clutter-free home, and our podcast is a fantastic way for people to be inspired to take action. We have a favour to ask. If you like what you hear, be sure to hit the follow, subscribe or like button on your podcast player. Share us with your friends or share your thoughts on the podcast by leaving a review. So Kirsty, welcome back to the podcast. Delighted that you're here. I was so excited to talk to you about anxiety because I think even though I have a good understanding of it, I think it really explained it so easily and succinctly that I felt like I definitely learned something from that podcast. Good. So thank you so much. So welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
So today we're going to delve in a little bit more into strategies, because I'm sure in episode 272, a lot of people will be like, but what can I do? What can I do to fix it? Like, let me fix it, Kirsty. And so we're definitely going to delve into that. And really, I'm not going to be asking many questions. It's going to be really over to you. But I know, you know, there are things that people will talk about. I know you mentioned briefly breathing in the last episode where we were talking about panic attacks and things like that. I know there's things like tapping, obviously general things like walking out in the fresh air. You're a hypnotherapist. And so we're going to unwrap all of that today and talk about what do you actually do to improve. Yeah, let's go improve. Shall we go improve?
Yeah.
Fixing would be nice, wouldn't it?
Exactly. A lot of
it would be nice.
I'm not saying you can't. You absolutely can. But improving, I think.
You're going to go for improving. Fair enough. Then the only way is up from there. Okay. So we talked about what anxiety is and all the different types of anxiety. And of course, what people are really interested in is finding out, but what do I do when I'm having those ridiculously anxious feelings that I feel like my heart's beating out of my chest and all of these things, and I feel very difficult. So explain again what it is that your body and your mind are doing in tandem that causes that, and then we're going to go into the techniques.
Okay, so when we are in anxiety, it's a nervous system response. It's a physical response that actually happens. And so our body is sending signals, which then cause us to have thoughts. Thoughts, they're electrical signals. And then we have these thoughts, which in turn create more signals. And so our body physically responds. Because we're sending messages, it's just the same as if you send a panic text message, then you're going to panic in return as you reply to that person. What's going on? Our body is doing the exact same thing. It's sending a panicked message. You're receiving that message and then you're replying with more panic and you're caught in that cycle. So then your body starts producing all of these stress hormones. You're fueled with the cortisol and adrenaline and your heart is beating. And it's all because of this freeze, fight and flight response that we experience. Your body doesn't know that actually you're hiding at home because you can't bear to look at the mess that's in that other room. You shut the door and you're having a moment. Your body thinks, I'm in real danger. I'm going to be eaten by a saber-toothed tiger. I need to get away. And so your heart beats because you need to pump blood around your body faster. Your breathing is faster because you need to keep up with your heartbeat. You might have to run to the toilet because your body wants you to be lighter because you can run faster. All of these physical things are happening because of those signals, because of those thoughts, because of those feelings, and it just continues. And that's essentially what is happening. It's a stress response with our fight, flight, and the freeze is when we can't do anything else. We sit there and we don't know what to do. That overwhelm, that wall hits you that you don't know what to do first.
Let's talk about a couple of things that you talked about. And a lot of people will completely understand this, but some won't. So you talked about adrenaline, you talked about cortisol. So why are they in our bodies and what do they do?
They do good stuff for us in the right quantities. We need some of this stuff to make our bodies work in a certain way, because sometimes we do need to be stressed. We do need to be aware of certain things. We don't want to be completely unaware of our surroundings and what's going on. Because if we weren't, then you're just going to walk into the middle of the road. You know, no one wants to do that. We need to be aware. We need to have an element of caution around us so that we don't go and put your hand in the flame when you're cooking your dinner. We need our mixture of hormones and chemicals for our bodies and ourselves to do the things they're supposed to do. Like, we don't want to go all neurosciencey and start talking about big long words that I can't pronounce and no one wants to know about, but we need a little bit of everything. You know, it's very yin and yang. There isn't any good hormones and chemicals and bad hormones and chemicals. They all have a job to do, and we need them. We need them for waking up. We need them for going to sleep. Our body needs all of this stuff. The problem is when you have too much of a good thing, then it's not working. It causes other problems. And that's just the same as any other, you know, external substance that you might have. You know, it might be nice to enjoy a G&T on a Friday, but if you have 12, then it's a problem. It's too much of a good thing causes bad stuff to happen on the inside. And that's the same as our hormones.
So we've talked about anxiety and stress, okay? Yeah. And that there's a bit of a kind of, you're generally anxious all the time, and then there are triggers that happen that might cause stress that make your anxiety to get worse.
Yeah.
So let's think about a couple of scenarios.
Okay.
So you're living with sort of general anxiety, so you know that something that's coming up is going to make you very anxious. So what can you do in advance of that thing happening, that potential trigger, to kind of pre-frame it a little bit, to kind of try to stave it off? So let's talk about things that you need to do in advance of it happening.
Okay. So in this sort of situation, this is something that we potentially would class as catastrophizing. So, you know, you've got something coming up and it starts off in the back of your mind, and you can feel that thought about this event slowly coming to the forefront of your mind, and then all of the bad things going to happen. You know, maybe you've got to do a presentation at work. You think, oh my gosh, people are going to think I'm stupid. People are going to think this. What if I do this? What if my trousers fall down? All of these things, they pop into our head, even though you might be thinking, there's that logical part of you is like, oh my gosh, Kirsty, this is ridiculous. Just pull yourself together. That emotional part of you that is running all of these thoughts, all of these behaviors, does not care that your logical part is saying all of this stuff. So what we have to do is we need to work with our body. It's not necessarily something you can talk yourself out of. Okay. We have to work with our body. And that goes back to one of the things I already mentioned was breathing, because it works so effectively. There are tons of breathing exercises that are available to do. Some of them can be really convoluted. It's like you have to count for this many and count for that many, and it can be a little bit overwhelming. And what if I'm not breathing enough in the right way, and is it going to the right place? The most important thing to slow down the body, because when the body speeds up, so do the thoughts, and then the body speeds up some more. We want to slow the body down. And one of the easiest ways to do that is to breathe out for longer than you're breathing in. So we can forget about all of the counting. They do work, but if you're already panicking, let's just breathe out for longer than you breathe in. And if you're making a cup off, it's the perfect time to practice. And I'd always advocate practicing any of these things that we talk about so that you know a little bit more about how to do them when you need them. You know, you wouldn't go and have swimming lessons in the middle of the channel. You practice first before you dive in. And that's the same with any of these tools or techniques when you're working with the body, is practice. If you can breathe down, like breathe all the way down so that your tummy comes out instead of your chest rising, then you're doing a good thing. Okay, so it's tummy out slowly. So we need
to. Just to understand this then. Mm-hmm. So I'm breathing out, which is really good because that's a really easy tip.
Yeah.
Breathing out for longer than breathing in.
Yeah.
But am I then changing my breathing patterns anyway to try and get a longer breath? So you're consciously breathing. Yeah. So am I trying to elongate my breath out, which will conversely probably elongate it in as well? Does that make sense?
It does make sense. So if you're in a panic, I would say don't worry too much about that. Just make sure that you're blowing it slowly. That's the difference, is the breath coming out slowly. When we're panicking, our breath is always short and sharp. It's like, you know, it's like that panting. And even if you breathe in quickly, you can still breathe that same breath out really slowly. So it's like,
yeah.
Okay, it's still the same volume of air, but it's released slower. So low and slow. Bring that breath down into your tummy. And that's one thing. If you can remember, low and slow. When you are practicing, if you can breathe in a little bit slower than normal and breathe it out even slower still, then that's great. So if you are feeling okay, you're going to make a cup out, practice breathing slowly. Practice slowing all of those things down, because you'll find that general level of anxiety that's sitting with you will begin to reduce. And this is something that you do need to practice. It's not just one breath and everything's going to be fine, because that would be amazing, but it doesn't work that way. You do have to practice it, because your body needs to A, hear and receive the message and then respond. So we have to give it time to respond.
Okay. So do you think that the practicing of the breathing,
yeah,
is that just so that you can pull on that when you need to? Or do you think if you are, you know, normally kind of living in a heightened kind of state of anxiety, that it's going to help you to do it anyway? Does that make
it, yeah. making sense? Breathing is one of the best things that we can do, specifically nasal breathing. So in the nicest possible way, listeners, please keep your mouth closed. Okay. Just in and out of your nose when you're doing it, because our nose works in a very special way that it directs our breath and all of the wonderful things it does to a part of our brain called the insula. And that will allow us to respond in a different way than just breathing in and out the mouth, which is what we do when we're in panic. If you can practice your breath at any point of time, this is something I do every morning when I wake up, just for 2 minutes. If I'm stood waiting for the tea or waiting for a bus and waiting for the kids to come out of a class, a minute at a time makes a huge difference, just because you are having that conversation regularly with your body that you are safe. And that being safe allows your body to respond, say, okay, maybe I don't need to panic anymore. It's like holding that little younger you know, holding the hand, say, everything's okay. So we might be going to a different place and don't know how to get there, but we're still okay. And you're allowed to do that. And that's one big thing, is give yourself permission to let yourself feel safe. We don't have to be in panic all of the time.
I think it's going to be all about sort of habit stacking a little bit, isn't it? To try and get this into your daily routine. So you talked about doing that while you're making a cup of tea. You know, it could be other times of the day. I know people kind of, you know, have set routines where they're kind of doing meditating and yoga, and breath work was probably part of that as well. So yeah, it's definitely trying to incorporate that in your day and in advance of these kind of things happening, so you can then pull upon that as and when you need it.
Yeah, exactly. That,
yeah, so breathing is definitely a big one for sure. And that's easy, right? It doesn't cost us anything.
It doesn't cost anything. It's not difficult to do.
And so that's a really useful tip. And it's something that we all kind of know is there, but we don't maybe invest the time into really practicing and learning how to do it the most effective way.
Yeah.
Tapping is a big one that I've heard of as well. So can you explain the principle of tapping and what that feels like? I know it's quite difficult. I mean, Kirsty is on YouTube if you want to watch on YouTube, and hopefully she might show us some stuff as well.
I can show you a little something.
Yeah, but it's tricky to do on an audio podcast, really, isn't it?
Well, I'm sure we can manage. We'll be all right, Leslie. So tapping, there is a few different ones. It's a bit like everything. There's all these different names for things. So tapping, you might have seen as EFT or TFT or TTT. It's all these various ones. Basically, the premise of this is using our meridians, the energetic meridians that are on the body. So if you go for acupuncture, then someone will put all those little needles in the different meridians on your body to help with the energetic flow and making your body work in harmony. Tapping uses that same principle, but instead of needles, which I think is a plus sign, I think that's a good thing, that you can do it yourself as well. You don't need somebody to do it for you. You cannot injure yourself. You cannot make things worse by doing tapping. So it's something you might as well try. If it works for you, fantastic. If it doesn't, then I'm sure there's another tool that you'll be able to use. So by activating these meridians in our body, it allows the energy or the blocked energy to begin moving. So one of the easiest things that you can do, because obviously tapping on your body in various places in public might not be the easiest thing to do, and that might be anxiety inducing in itself if you think, oh no, I've got to start tapping on my face. So our hands are like spaghetti junction for nerves. That's how we do all of our feeling, okay? So our hands are a really wonderful place that if you just want to experiment with how you can reset yourself, there is a couple of nice points on your hands that you can tap. Now, I always recommend tapping with two fingers because we're working with the premise that we're working with energy, okay? And that means we have a positive and a negative. So let's use two fingers. And if you use the side of your hand, so like the karate chop, if you're going to do a karate chop, then it's the side of your palm. Doesn't matter which hand you tap, it doesn't matter which one you do the tapping with. Some people find that one is more comfortable than the other. But if you tap on the side of your hand, just like that, you can do that quite easily if you're sat on the train, you know, if your hands are in your lap. Just tapping on the side of your palm is a really nice way to reset without it being really obvious than starting tapping various points around your face in the middle of a public place. That's a nice way to reset. But also in between your little finger and your ring finger, so for those of you on YouTube, there's a spot just right here. This is called our gamma spot. And if you tap on that one there, again, with your two fingers, those two places, I would say, are a really nice place to start if you want to experiment with tapping, if you haven't done it with somebody who knows all of the points. Our hands are really, really powerful. So for tapping, have a practice on those. And what I recommend you doing is if you are feeling anxious, let yourself feel anxious for a moment, because we always try and avoid it. We always want to get rid of that horrible feeling. But when you're tapping, if you give yourself permission for that anxiety to be there for a moment and then begin tapping it, most people, most of the time, will feel that anxiety begin to dissipate.
Wow. I'm just, I'm in awe. I am. I don't know what to say. I'm speechless for once in my life. So maybe now's the time to go to a break. And what I want to talk about when we come back, breath work, tapping, fantastic. We've talked about hypnosis or hypnotherapy, and I want to delve into that part of your work and how that works and what that is, because a lot of people are like, oh, that sounds a bit weird. I don't think I fancy that. Yeah. Like you were 9 years ago, right? So we're going to go for a break now. We're going to come back afterwards, and we're going to talk about hypnosis. Thank you so much, Kirsty. So welcome back. So in the first half of the podcast, we spoke about breath work, we spoke about tapping, and Kirsty gave us some super easy things that we can do in public, every day, you know, practicing all of those kind of things that we can start to incorporate in our day-to-day lives, which is really, really helpful. If you want to see a little bit more, then YouTube is the place to be so you can go and actually see those things in action. So Kirsty, tell us a little bit about your day-to-day life, your role in working with people with anxiety, and then you can explain a little bit more about the hypnotherapy work that you do.
Okay, so day-to-day, I work online with people. So you can be anywhere, which is great because that means you are in your environment where the anxiety happens. You're not having to go somewhere and try and create that stress, that anxiety, that worry that is normally there. And by using hypnosis, which is my favorite tool, and I'll tell you why, is because we get to have a different way of communicating with ourselves. Anxiety is hypnosis. Okay. Anxiety is hypnosis because it hasn't actually happened. Now, our brain is amazing. I love brains. They're brilliant. They do so much for us. Okay. You do so much that you are completely unaware of. You breathe. You don't make that happen. It happens, doesn't it? Your heart beats. It just happens. You heal if you trip over and you've got a scab. It just happens. That's your body, your unconscious, running all of the processes it needs to do. It does not know the difference between what you're actually doing and what you are thinking you are doing. So if you are sat at home and then you turn around and look at a stash of stuff and it causes you anxiety, you think, oh, I've got to do that. Then I'm going to do this. And then this is going to happen. Then this is going to happen. And that's going to happen. All the other things are going to happen. Your brain has already processed it, that all of that stuff has already happened. Same as if you watch a scary film and it makes you jump. You know that actually you're tucked up in your jammies on the sofa, that that horrible monster is not coming to get you, but you still respond with fear. That's because your brain thinks that thing is happening. It is real as far as your brain is concerned. And that's why anxiety is so powerful at getting the body to respond. Hypnosis is pure focus, but on purpose. So because we are giving it directions, and somebody like me is giving you suggestions and directions to do things, your brain is going through all of those processes as if things are actually happening. So if we can use hypnosis, because you already can do it, if you have anxiety, you are already in hypnosis. We are doing it on purpose, which is why it's so powerful at getting your brain to reverse what we're doing. All of those thoughts that you have create amazing neural pathways. So it's just like a motorway getting from A to B. But when you've got anxiety, you've got 100 million roads all to get to that same destination of panic. When we use hypnosis, it's like doing roadworks. So we start shutting down those roads and reopening and constructing new neural pathways to take you to a different destination, which is calmer, which is more confident, which is feeling in control. Rather than this thing is happening to you, you are in control of it. Hypnosis is something we all do naturally, and it's a really lovely place for our bodies and our minds to be in. And if you read, if you get the opportunity to read and you become absorbed in that story and the characters, you don't care that there might be other people wandering around you because you're absorbed in the story. That's similar to hypnosis. You're absorbed in the thing that you're focusing on, and it's really powerful. And once you know how to do that, you can then do it yourself. You don't need a hypnotist to take you into hypnosis once you know how to get there. It's like any skill. Once you learn how to do it, you can do it for yourself.
I think that, I mean, it's a really interesting way to actually say that we're already hypnotizing our own bodies through anxiety. That's really interesting. Yeah. Thing, isn't it? And also to say that we can hypnotize ourselves as well. Those the couple of things that have kind of jumped out. Really interesting. People are a little bit nervous about it, yeah. Right? So why don't you explain why we shouldn't be nervous about allowing our bodies and our brains to go to this place that people are a little bit nervous about?
Okay. Do you mean nervous about hypnosis in
general? I think people would be nervous.
Okay.
Because, of course, when we talk about hypnosis, a lot of people have seen comedy hypnosis people and doing stupid things. And do you know what I mean? There's something that is so powerful to, you know, stop people from smoking, for example, or stop people from drinking, or, you know, complete life-changing things.
Yeah.
You know, something very strong has got to go on to make that happen. And I think people are nervous about maybe the peripheral things that might go alongside that. I mean, surely you must hear that, right? That people are, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
So talk to us about that part of it. Because, you know, from the way that you've explained it, I'm like, why are we all not doing this? But what is it that's stopping people that are struggling from jumping in?
So I think you hit the nail on the head there, in that people have seen these TV shows or stage shows where there's the hypnotist who's clicking their fingers and everyone falls on the floor, or they're, you know, we're going to bear their deepest, darkest secrets to the world. And I mean, stage hypnosis is great. It's a bit of fun. It's supposed to be entertaining. Hypnotherapy, using hypnosis to help, is different, because you can't make somebody do something they don't want to do, okay? I couldn't hypnotize you, Leslie, and get you to go and rob a bank for me. Okay, not unless, of course, you want to, and then I'm not an accomplice.
Well, it's tempting sometimes. Yeah, tempting.
It's just what we do on the weekends. You can't make somebody do something that they don't want to do. If you bear with me with another metaphor, another little story.
Love your metaphors.
I think of hypnosis as me being your tour guide. So, you know, like if you go on holiday, you might get on a bus. You've booked a trip to go and look at some amazing scenery or some architecture. And you've got some little dude at the front of the bus with his microphone. And he's telling you, right, Leslie, look over here. This building is blah, blah, blah. And look over there. Look at this other thing. You've volunteered yourself to go on the trip. You've chosen to find a seat, and you've chosen to pay attention to what that tour guide is telling you, because you want to learn about whatever it is you're going on a trip for. You've done all of those things because you want to be there. Hypnosis is the same. I can't just click my fingers and say, sleep, Leslie. You're not going to do that, because that's not how it works. You need to want to go into hypnosis when you're working with somebody like me. You need to want to have that desire that actually I'm ready to let go of that habit of smoking, or that behavior of feeling anxious all of the time. I'm your tour guide. I'm the little dude at the front of the bus giving you the suggestions and the directions to get you into hypnosis, but to get you to go through the different levels, the depths of hypnosis, that will allow you to focus on the things that will make the difference. I don't know the thing that's going to make the most difference for you, but your unconscious does. And that's the difference, is that once we get you into hypnosis, which you've done because you want to do, your unconscious gets to assume that responsibility and actually do the things it's been trying to do, instead of screaming at you and you ignoring it. So that's essentially what we're doing. We have our gut instincts, don't we? And we think, oh no, can't be that thing. I'm just going to ignore that. I'm being silly. We do those things. That's our gut instinct. That's what we should be listening to. When we're in hypnosis, we get to bypass that critical faculty that's saying, oh, I'm being silly, it can't be that thing. We bypass all of that. It's like sneaking in the back door and saying, right, okay, I'm listening now. Let's do this upgrade. Let's do this thing, so that actually when Leslie's out of hypnosis, she's going to feel good about this instead. And that's what hypnosis like. It's like going on your own personal journey, but inwards, of your own awareness to the stuff that we can't quite hear.
Wow. I'm sold. I'm sold, Kirsty. I'm in. I'm all in. Yeah. I think it's just making that jump, isn't it? And maybe getting across. You know, today we're here on a decluttering podcast, and I'm aware that what we've not spoken about at any point during this podcast is decluttering. Don't apologize. But I think that it's something that everybody or most people in our decluttering space will be dealing with, some level of anxiety and nervousness, and our body's not quite doing what we want it to do. And so I think that's why I wanted to kind of unpack that and talk about A, what it is and how it represents, to show people that they're not alone in this journey and that it is a big part of the decluttering process.
Yeah.
And also to give skills and, you know, strategies for people to make those changes, so that if a decision that comes upon you when you're decluttering is difficult, if you're feeling that you want to fight or flight, if you want to do both of those things, then I think that, you know, that you need to be able to take a step back, do a little bit of breathing. You know, we're big advocates of taking time out when it gets too much. You know, yeah. As professional organizers working one-to-one with people, we can read the signs of somebody. Typically, we can see when somebody's getting anxious or nervous about something. And so, but you need to recognize that in yourself, take a little bit of time out. And the problem is with decluttering is that people get so wrapped up in the moment and want to carry on making those changes that sometimes they go too far. Then at the end of the process, they think, well, that was hideous. Never want to do that again and never don't return. And so I think it's finding that balance and understanding your own triggers, understanding when your body is telling you that you're feeling a little bit anxious, and using some of the techniques that Kirsty has spoken about today, with the breathing, with the tapping, really simple techniques. These are not difficult, but I feel like sometimes it comes across as a bit of a dark art. You know, when we're talking about EFT and TFT or whatever you said it was, and
yeah,
like, oh, I don't even know what that is. And so thank you so much, Kirsty, for explaining it so fantastically. We've loved your metaphors. We've loved you talking about it. I love the calmness in you. If only I could be as calm as you. I absolutely love that. It's been an absolutely brilliant thing to talk about. And I'm so glad it just popped up on my social media feeds a couple of weeks ago when we got the opportunity to meet you and listen to the brilliant stuff that you talk about. So remind us again, Kirsty, where people can find out more about you. You do work online, so it's possible for people to talk to you if they're interested in either, you know, finding out more about some of the techniques that Kirsty uses, or going down the hypnotherapy route as well. So that would be amazing. And if you do decide to go down that route, if you want to share, I would love to hear the success stories, as I'm sure there will be. So Kirsty, where can people find out more about you?
So I have a YouTube channel, so it's youtube.com/Kirsty Leach. You can find me there. So there's some audios, there's some videos where you can watch me doing some techniques, and a little bit of stage hypnosis there if you want to have a laugh. But you can also just find my website, which is boosttherapy.co.uk, and there's some free stuff on there too.
So drop a comment on this podcast if you've enjoyed it. Let us know. There's going to be things on our social media channel, so let us know what you've thought about today's podcast. Get in touch with Kirsty, follow her, like her, all of those things. And we will see you next time. Thanks so much for listening.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for listening to the Declutter Hub podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us in your podcast player so you don't miss an episode, and we'll see you next week.